I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. Our bodies, ourselves. It's been called the Bible of women's health. But it started out as just a stapled booklet put together by a group of women in the Boston area who were sharing their knowledge and experiences about their health and their own bodies. By 1973, Our Bodies, Ourselves was a bestseller here in the U.S. Since then, it's been translated into 31 languages and counting. This month, the collective that puts out the book announced that it would no longer publish updated editions. It's a money issue. The World's April Peavy has been looking at the global reach of Our Bodies, Ourselves. You know, I remember when this book got pretty popular, I was growing up and would hear a lot about it. It was kind of passed around, and even, you know, friends of my mother's were reading it. It was a big deal. And so I'm really curious about its global reach and who you spoke to about that.
It really is remarkable, the global reach that Our Bodies, Ourselves has. And in some ways, it's just as subversive as when the book first came out here. These are issues about women's health that just aren't talked about. So I got in touch with some women who translated the book in just the past 5 to 10 years, and they told me how they interpreted the book for women in their particular countries. Let's hear from a woman who translated the book for women in Uganda.
My name is Diana Namombeja Aboye. Particularly, I found the birth control chapter very informative because there's so many women in Uganda that have unwanted pregnancies. So I felt if there was a way of me bringing this information that would help them prevent these unwanted pregnancies in the first place, that it would change their life all too. So particularly when I read how it discussed the condom use, the fact that there were even female condoms and the IUDs and all these other birth control mechanisms that you could also use without your partner knowing you are having one were very important, because very many women, particularly in marriages, do not have the chance or ability to use birth control with their partners aware they are doing so.
It's really interesting to hear her, because it strikes me that Ugandan women are reading it and they're taking birth control into their own hands, you know, possibly against the wishes of their husband or their local society.
Absolutely. And Diana had also told me that she received her copy as a birthday gift from some of her friends. And there were things that she had never heard about, and this being one of them, the whole idea of birth control. I should say, Carol, too, that there were a couple of things that she couldn't include in her version. One was abortion and one was same-sex relationships, because, as you know, they're both illegal in Uganda.
Which makes it all the more remarkable that this book is being translated for women in Uganda and even getting to them.
All the women I spoke to, they really had to adapt the book for their particular country. So that means that there were some things that were taken out and there were some things that were put in. And that leads me to Samita Das Dasgupta, who translated the book in Bengali for women in West Bengal and Bangladesh. She added a chapter on skin bleaching cream.
The industry is huge. The idea is that your skin will become white, and it's basically a bleaching product. And I included that to kind of make people aware of the issues behind it, that part of it is, of course, that dark skin is beautiful, that kind of a movement, but also the health hazards that are there that crop up as women use a bleaching product on their face and their bodies constantly.
It's really interesting to hear her say that, because it seems to be really challenging a practice that's completely problematic and dangerous. And so it makes me wonder, you know, how people or women are responding when they read about it.
Well, it's interesting. This is where the Our Bodies, Ourselves collective comes in. They have a global initiative, or it's, I guess you could say, a global outreach program, where they work with women like Samita out in the field. In the really rural areas of Bangladesh and West Bengal, many of the women can't read. So it's really up to these field workers and healthcare professionals to go around and talk about what's in the book.
I'm curious who else you talked to.
I spoke to a woman, Dana Weinberg. She's one of the founders of Women and Their Bodies in Israel. She did actually two versions. She did a Hebrew version and an Arabic version. Both versions don't exactly cover the same things. Dana Weinberg says that for the Israeli version, for example, she wanted to talk about the issue of women deciding not to have children, which she says is something that you don't really hear much about in Israel. But here's what she said about the Palestinian version.
We had to choose the issues that are the most silenced issue in the Arabic Palestinian society in Israel, such as abortion and menopause, issues that really was unwritten of. It was very hard to find materials in those issues. If I mentioned the menopause chapter, for example, it was even hard to find words to describe menopause, because in Arabic, the common name is Sin al-Yas, which is the years of despair. Actually, I should add that also in Hebrew, we have a very problematic name to translate menopause. In Hebrew, it's years of being worn out, like a clothes that was worn out too much, gilablut. So both in Arabic and in Hebrew, the name of this stage of women's life represent the cultural and social representation and attitudes towards it.
I'll say, wow. That's like, we're done with you.
Yeah.
Why don't you just wander off? Gee. But what strikes me also immediately is the fact that an Israeli person was involved in the translation of not only the Hebrew edition, but the Arabic edition. I would just think from the politics of the region that the book would immediately be suspect.
Yeah, well, she had mentioned that she really wanted to be culturally sensitive to both groups when she and her group were doing the translations for it. So it was something that she was very much aware of. I asked Dana Weinberg about the kind of reaction that she got from women, and she actually told me about a reaction she got from a man.
A man rabbi, Jewish Orthodox rabbi, who told me not only that he bought the book, he bought it actually for his wife, but when he started reading it, it became very clear to him how little he knows about women's health, about women's sexuality, about women's needs and challenges regarding their body. Now the book is on his desk, on his working desk. He uses it as a conversation starter. Every time a woman comes and wants to talk about issues regarding contraceptive or ministerial issues and Judaism. So this was very moving for me because, you know, he was not the person that we thought we are targeting, yet it was very moving for us to understand how far we could have reached with our writing.
This is interesting because I think in many ways that's the arc of the impact of Our Bodies, Ourselves in the U.S. I mean, most American men, even American doctors and OBGYN, they didn't know much about women's health or women's sexuality. And the same kind of gradual understanding and acceptance of that as an important subject, that gradually took place here.
Yep, that's absolutely right.
Now, I know you mentioned that there won't be any updated editions of Our Bodies, Ourselves here in the U.S., but I'm wondering what other translations are in the works?
Well, right now they still have current projects underway, Morocco, Mongolia, and Indonesia. And yes, it will continue to be published. It will be available online, and it will continue to be read by women not only here in the United States, but all around the globe.
Thanks, April.
Thanks, Carol.